He's talking about seed, but now he's talking about ears. Jesus is really asking the people, how is your hearing? And he's not talking about people who are hearing impaired, or he's not talking about people who have lost the little frequencies on the edge here. That's sort of obvious. He is really talking about, Jesus is saying, I am speaking the word of God. If you want your life to change, then hear what I have to say. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning, God speaks the Word, and the world is formed. This is how God has planned to establish His kingdom. His plan is not to ride in on a horse with an army and take over cities and countries. The kingdom of God will be established by hearing and listening. Now, that's not just hearing so that you can regurgitate it. It really needs to sink in and make an impression on your heart. This parable illustrates why so many people who have been exposed to the Word of God fail to live productive spiritual lives. Jesus compares our lives to our hearts and our hearts to various types of ground on which the seed is sowed. We see that the conditions must be right for God's Word to produce a harvest in our lives, so we have to properly cultivate our hearts to ensure that the right conditions are present. So this hearing that Jesus is talking about is about how we receive the Word. He is banking on us being good listeners. Now let's take a minute here and talk about what makes a good listener. Give me some input. What makes a good listener? What makes a good listener? Understanding. Focus. Keeping your mouth shut. Very good. Anybody who's had classes in communication has probably described active listening. And you know that eye contact, repeat backs, asking questions, concentrating, your body language, not interrupting. Those are all qualities of a good listener. But I would suggest something else, and it's something that Ray has really been honing in on in our Sunday school class. Preparation. You have to prepare. We're going to get to that in a minute. But I would say that a good listener has to be humble. In order for you to really understand what somebody's got to say, you got to be humble. It takes humility. If I'm really listening to you, I'm not going to assume that I know what you're already going to say. I'm not going to be ready for a response when you take a breath. And I'm not going to assume that I can complete your sentence. It takes humility to be a good listener, and I think it takes a humble heart to hear and understand the Word of God. So now let's get back to the parable. Being an analytical type, I like to look at situations and look for the constants and the variables. So once you determine what the variable is, you can figure out what's the hinge point, what really makes a difference. So in this story, the constants are the seed, which is the Word of God. That's the seed. And the sower, which is God. Now, the obvious variable in the story is the soil. Marcia Jim and I have a neighbor, lives across the street, and she has the most beautiful yard and garden. And if you ask Jennifer about it, she will tell you, you got to start with good dirt. In fact, when she moved in, she had like 18 truckloads of dirt delivered to fill her flower beds and stuff. And after several years of watching the difference in the results of her yard and my yard, I have become a believer in that. So last fall, I added some good dirt to some of my beds, and it's made all the difference in the world. If you want some good dirt, you can go see Stephen Wallace at Daniel's. He's got good dirt. But anyway, Jesus explains that the soil represents the condition of our hearts. Different conditions produce or don't produce fruit from hearing the Word of God. So, how good is your dirt? You got good dirt? Our job is to identify what type of dirt we have, what kind of soil we have, and decide if we want to change or not. So let's go a little bit deeper. The path, the first soil that Jesus described is like the little dirt roads and paths that go around the field. They're trodden and untilled. This can be described as a hardened heart. The Word of God just bounces right off these hearts. Maybe it's been hardened by life experiences. Tragic death, betrayal, divorce, job loss, sickness, abusive relationships. And some people may think that a hard heart is protective, but it's not. It really isolates you from God. It was never God's intent for you to have a hard heart. But if you do have a hard heart, the first thing you have to do is admit it. You got to say, God, my heart is hard. Help me turn my soul and plow my heart. Help me prepare my mind to receive your word. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, we are told that we need to prepare our minds, but I would say it's also necessary to prepare your hearts. If we want to get anything out of coming to church, we've got to prepare our hearts and minds, just like Vicki said. You've got to prepare prior to the service, just as the farmer has to prepare the soil before he sows. We're not going to learn anything or absorb anything if we're too tired to pay attention. We need to ask God to open our hearts and give it an understanding. That means get up early on Sunday morning and spend some time with God before you even come to church. Try and figure out how the word applies to your own life and not the person sitting next to you or somebody else you know. If you walk away from a service and think, well, that was great. I hope so-and-so was listening because they really needed that. Or you think that it was boring and old, nothing new for me, you've missed the entire point. The point of going to church is to hear from God personally. If you're realizing you haven't been growing spiritually, maybe it's because your heart is hardened to what God has been trying to tell you. And just like the farmer in the path, God has been sowing seeds, but your heart has been too hard to receive them. It's time to let God plow the soil of your heart. And that's not always a pleasant experience. Plowing is not always a pleasant experience. It might get a little dirty and dusty, but God needs to break up that hardness in your hearts, because the results are well worth it. The second type of soil that Jesus describes is rocky places. Looks pretty good on the surface. You can't tell it from the appearances. But just right below the surface, there's rocks that prevent the roots from really getting down in the soil. And when the sun comes out and stresses the plant, it has no nutrients, it has nothing. So it just withers and dies. This can be diagnosed as a shallow heart. So we've seen a hardened heart, shallow heart. I got a spot in my yard that's like that. I know that there's got to be some cinder block or some leftover gravel or something under that, because there's about a 2-foot diameter circle that every time it starts getting hot, that spot dries up before anything else does. So this year I'm going to dig it up, find out what's under there, and put some more soil in it. But people with shallow hearts, they'll say everything's fine, but the Word of God really, really never makes it into their heart. Then when trouble comes, we're toast. And believe me, trouble will come. As every one of you know, trouble will come. Things are not going to be rosy. And it's important to understand that it's not the sun necessarily that causes the problems, because the sun is necessary for plants to grow. The real problem is that the plants in shallow ground, they don't have any roots. So they can't survive when you have a trial or if you have the scorching heat. When you first plant something, you got to baby it until it gets its roots established, right? You put a new plant out there, you got to baby it. And established plants, but once it's established, established plants, as if we grow in Christ, they can take the heat. Some people, Christians that have shallow hearts, they just want a little bit of Jesus. I want the high, I want the riches, I want the blessings. We want him to make us better, but not new. Richard Foster, in his book, Celebration of Discipline, says, the desperate need today is not for a greater number of intelligent people or gifted people, but for deep people. So a shallow Christian just simply cannot survive times of trouble. Is your faith shallow or deep? Are the troubles of life knocking you out or making you stronger? So if they are, then how can you make your roots go deep? First, go to church every Sunday. The Bible tells us to go to church. It says, don't skip church. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. We're not to skip church because God knows that we can't grow alone. We need each other's love, encouragement, and support. We need to follow in the footsteps of more mature Christians as they follow Christ. We need to experience corporate worship and hear the Word of God proclaimed. Second, read the Bible and pray every single day. That's your communication with God, and you got to have communication if you want a relationship. And don't forget to do what God tells you to do, because there's no quicker way to stunt your spiritual growth by failing to obey. So, if you've not been growing spiritually, and God's Word has not been producing the fruit that you want it to produce, you need to plow the soil and put down roots. Now, the third condition that Jesus describes is good soil. But the plant is growing among thorns and weeds. There's good soil that's giving life, but next to the plant there are weeds and thorns that suck away all the moisture and nutrients. This can be described as a divided heart. So we've had a hardened heart, a shallow heart, and now we've got a divided heart. Something is in competition with our spiritual growth. Anybody here suffer with distractions? Only one admits it. Yeah, we all do. I would venture to say that every single person in this church today has some degree of a divided heart. Now, I'm not judging, but there's always this tug of war. We're human, and there's always this tug of war going on with the worries of life. If you're not making progress in your faith, maybe it's because we keep finding that next, yeah, but. What about this? Jesus describes these thorns as the worries of life and deceitfulness of wealth. But it could be other things too. Relationships, addictions, hobbies, even our own families. And sometimes it's not even clear if it's a weed or not. In the early spring, Marcia knows this, we start pulling weeds, spraying Roundup. I'm over there looking, I don't know if this is a weed or not. Might not be a weed, it might be a plant. So, if you find yourself letting something take priority over God in your life, you really need to look close, because it probably is a weed. And you know something else? Weeds don't go away on their own. It's tricky, because sometimes you might say, well, I can hang on to this and still keep Jesus. Anne Lamott said, the difference between you and God is that God doesn't think he's you. To really produce what God wants us, we got to give Jesus everything. What? I can't give him all of it. I mean, that's crazy. Who the heck does that? Bible freaks? Pew jumpers? Jesus thumpers? No, it's not crazy talk. It's disciple talk. It's hard, though. You can't do it alone. So first, if you really want to get rid of that divided heart, start tithing. If God doesn't have your pocketbook, he doesn't have your heart either. Tithing is a biblical command to give God the first 10%. That means before Uncle Sam, and before you pay the bills, You give 10% to God, and He promises that the remaining 90% will be sufficient to meet your needs, not your greeds. Second, start giving offerings above and beyond your tithe. Support a missionary or some other charity. Give to our special offerings that we have. Start giving sacrificially. And when you start giving these ways, you're saying to God, I'd rather have Jesus than anything that this world affords today. And last, start serving others. Get your focus off your needs and start focusing on the needs of others. It will revolutionize your life to stop worrying about yourself and start caring about others. There's an old fable about a miserable rich man who went to visit a rabbi. The rabbi took the rich man by the hand and led him to a window. Look out there, he said. The rich man looked into the street. What do you see? Asked the rabbi. I see men, women, children, answered the rich man. Again, the rabbi took him by the hand, and this time he led him to a mirror. Now what do you see? Now I see myself, the rich man replied. Then the rabbi said, behold, in the window there is glass, and in the mirror there is glass. But the glass of the mirror is covered with a little silver representing wealth. And no sooner is the silver added than you cease to see others, but you see only yourself. So the last soil that Jesus described was good soil. And that produces more than you can even imagine and provides abundant blessings. This is what happens when God really gets hold of your hearts. Some people are born with good soil. They've been nurtured, exposed to God's Word, the Bible. They grew up with godly parents and families. So is that a guarantee that they will always be fruitful? I would tell you no. If the soil is not regularly cared for, it will become weedy and stripped of nutrients. If you want an example, go take a look at Crooked Creek Golf Course. Once it was closed and not tended, it only took a matter of months before it was nothing but weeds. Weeding is not a one-time event. It is a constant battle out there. So even if we think we've got good soil, we need to keep adding and tending to it. Farmers know this. They rotate crops. They provide barriers for erosion. They periodically add amendments to the soil. So don't think that if your heart is in good soil, that it's good for life. You still need to do all those things I talked about. We still need to do all those things I talked about. For the other types of hearts, the hardened heart, the shallow heart, and the divided heart. Because I will tell you that each of us has parts of our hearts that meet all four conditions. And it's not a snapshot. Your heart conditions change from many things. But we should all be working on getting all of those spots in our heart prepared for God's Word so that the seeds will grow and multiply. And you know what? Your heart is the soil, and God is the gardener. You can't change it by yourself. You need to meet with God and invite Him to help you with the plowing and weeding. I know I got all parts of my heart. I can find parts of my heart in each of these soils. I mean, I know I can. Hard spots, too shallow, way too distracted. Joe will tell you that. But the Bible tells us that Jesus will draw the line and only accept those that have good soil. Those that have no fruit, no faith, they're just doing a little bit of hanging out, they're not going to make it to the kingdom. In Matthew 7, Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Many will hear, but few will understand and gain eternal life. But if we hear and understand, then eternity and His kingdom awaits. No more tears, no cancer, no deadbolts, no funerals, no racism, no broken families, no mass shootings, no more shame, no more suicide bombers, no hate speak, no Amber Alerts. We will be with God, and He will delight in us. We will be whole, and that will be enough. So I leave you with this question. Do you have spiritual ears and a spiritual heart that understands? If you can't positively answer yes, then ask God to help you. Get involved with Stronger Christians and ask them to help you. But do it now. You have to make a choice. You can't choose to defer, because once you decide not to decide, you've just made the decision. He doesn't force Himself on you. His death paid a ransom. He is the humble King asking, if you have ears to hear, will you listen?